Good morning, Church. The testimonies of the Lord are our heritage forever, for they are the joy of our hearts. The testimony from God's word to us this morning is from Romans chapter 3, verses 21 through 31, and it's entitled The Righteousness of God Through Faith. So that's Romans chapter 3, verses 21 through 31. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also, since God is one who will justify the circumcised by faith, and the uncircumcised through faith. Do we then overthrow the law by this faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Let's pray, and then we'll jump into this Romans 3 passage. Gracious Father, teach our hearts and our minds by your Spirit so that we can rest in Jesus' completed work. Help us live by faith. In his name we pray. Amen. Just going to switch over. Oh, good. We're on. Let's say at the next church lunch, we make up a new system. And the system would involve two things. First off, all those who are firstborn would get a Kurong voucher. How's that sound? So all those who are firstborn here, how many would that be if you're firstborn in your family? Oh, see, you guys would be happy. And then what about if the second rule in this system was that all the 20 shortest adults in our congregation did not get dessert? Okay, so we'd have to have a competition. Who's the 20 shortest, right? You wouldn't wear your heels, or you'd wear your heels on that day, wouldn't you, ladies? You see, there's something about that system, though, that kind of drives us crazy. It's a little bit unfair. The firstborn, they didn't choose their birth order, did they? So why should they receive a voucher? They didn't do anything for that. And the 20 shortest adults, well, they can't grow any taller. So why should they miss out on dessert because of their stature? See, our difficulty with the system like that is that reward or penalty is not based on deeds. It's not based on something we do. When the determining factor in any system of reward or penalty is outside of our control, we find fault with the system. We label it unfair. Well, we just read Romans 3, 21 to 31. Anything about that strike you as unfair? Look at the system outlined in verse 22. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, that does not credit our good deeds, does it? That doesn't give us credit for some good works that we did. It's in faith. Verse 21 clearly says, the righteousness of God has been manifest apart from the law. In short, our good deeds, our obedience, do not make us righteous or justified. And those two words in the Greek come from the same root. They're both the same word in a sense. Righteousness and justification have at their root the same Greek word. So we are not made righteous or justified in God's sight by our deeds. Now, there is a reason why our deeds don't count. If you look back just a little bit earlier in Romans chapter 3, verses 10 to 20, it tells us at our heart we are hardcore rebels. Look at what it says about us. No one is righteous. Well, that right there pretty much sums it all up, right? No one, not one, seeks God. All have turned aside. No one does good. Their throats are an open grave. The venom of asps is on their tongue. Their paths are ruin and misery. Now, this is us. This is describing us. The way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. We cannot earn God's righteousness. But then, how can God be just? How can He justify? How can He allow rebels to be called righteous in His sight? The main idea of this passage is that the righteousness of God does not come by law keeping, but is received through faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus upholds God's righteousness. So we have two questions. You would have received an outline, hopefully, when you came in. If not, maybe someone next to you has it. You can follow along. Two questions. How do rebels receive righteousness? And the second question is God's righteousness kept by our good works? So how do we receive righteousness, and then how do we keep righteousness? Now, since I'm a hardcore rebel, like you, we all need Jesus to pay our penalty. So the first question, how do rebels receive righteousness? Well, let's scan through the passage that we had read to us. Verse 22, it says, the righteousness of God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Verse 24, without distinction, they, that is, those who believe in Jesus, are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is by Jesus Christ. Verse 25, whom God put forward as a propitiation to be received by faith. Verse 26, so that He might be just, that is, God might be just, and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. So the short answer to our first question is that by faith in Jesus, we are declared righteous. That's verse 22. We are justified, verse 24. We are redeemed, verse 25, through His propitiation. Now, we'll discuss propitiation in just a little bit. It's probably not a word you've used recently. See, the righteousness of God is manifested by Jesus. It's made known to us by Jesus. He is the Redeemer of God's people. He is God's propitiation. And He is the one who justifies those who have faith in Him. So let's talk about Jesus. Let's just give just a few points from this passage about Him. Well, first off, Jesus has perfect right standing with God. He is righteousness. Right at the beginning of Romans, the book of Romans, so if you flip back a couple chapters, Romans chapter 1, verses 1 to 6, Paul notes a few things that are important about Jesus there. First off, Paul notes that he is a servant of Christ Jesus. The second thing in verses 2 and 3 of chapter 1 is that the gospel was promised in the Old Testament, prophesied in the Old Testament concerning God's Son. So before Jesus ever came on this earth in human form, he was prophesied about in the Old Testament. He was prophesied as a descendant of David, the kingly line. Jesus would be in that kingly line. And then verse 4, it says this. This is a quote. He was declared to be the Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of holiness, that is the Holy Spirit, by his resurrection from the dead. He was declared to be Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now note these things about Jesus. First off, he is God's King. He is the Christ. That's what Christ means, the anointed one, the King. He is in David's line. And he rose from the dead to be declared Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is risen, vindicated, conquered death. And all along in this process, all along in everything about Christ, all along, he always has a perfect right standing with God. He was promised by prophets. He lived on this earth a perfect life. He died and he rose again. And now he's being preached by the apostles and those that follow. That's Jesus. But since Jesus has this right standing from God, he can redeem and justify those who receive his redeeming work by faith. It's like this. It's like the picture from the Old Testament. Just as the Israelites followed Moses out of Egypt to be redeemed out of slavery in Egypt by Moses, their Redeemer, so those who follow Jesus, the Redeemer, are justified by faith in him and are rescued from slavery to sin. So Jesus' right standing, when we follow him, he leads us out as our Redeemer. Last point in this little section, these key points about Jesus. God put Jesus forward to propitiate by his blood. Now there again is that funny word. What does that mean? What is propitiation? Let me put it this way. All sin, every sin, angers God. And all sin separates the rebel from God. So until God's wrath is propitiated, that is, turned away, those who sin anger God, and they cannot be declared righteous or justified, and they are separated from him. But Jesus redeemed, because Jesus was put forward. That's what the passage says before us. God put him forward as the propitiation so that he would turn away God's wrath against sin, against the sin of those who would trust him, who would have faith in him. See, Jesus willingly gave his life. He wasn't a victim. It wasn't cosmic child abuse or any such thing. Jesus willingly gave his life, took our place, and endured the separation from God. When he cried out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? It was indicating he was being separated from his Father, separated because of me, because of you, because of your sin and my sin. He endured that separation from God. Thus, Jesus turned away or propitiated the wrath of God against our sin. So let's put that all together. Just a little summary here of what we've seen about Jesus so far. Let's put this teaching together with faith so that we know how rebels can receive righteousness. See, we put faith in Jesus and we accept as a gift that everything Jesus did and all that the Bible says about us and about him is true. Look at what it says in verses 23 and 24. Let's read it. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's the truth about us. And it says in verse 24, and those, they are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Praise God, right? Praise God. We accept God's promise that Jesus' life and his work and his death counts for us. And we admit that we can do nothing to redeem ourselves, to justify ourselves, or to make ourselves righteous in God's sight. It's all done by Jesus. By faith, we enter into all that Jesus has done, and we believe in God's promise that Jesus' life, his work, and his death counts for us. Jesus, then, is our full substitute. And that's how you receive righteousness. So that's how I receive it. But is that how I keep it? Is righteousness kept by our good works? In other words, I receive it by faith. Okay, yeah, I got that. But what about keeping it? Surely that's got to be something I do, right? Isn't there something in that for me to do? How we answer that question reveals what we really understand about justification and the gift that God gives by faith. That is, the righteousness that God gives by faith. See, we know by faith, in verse 24, that we are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. However, once we are justified and declared righteous, do we just stay justified forever? Does that mean that's it? I'm done? Let me challenge you again. How we answer the question really shows what we believe about our justification and our righteousness before God. Some Christians mistakenly think that after being declared righteous, that it's up to them to maintain that justified or right standing before God. They think or say things that sound something like this. I must keep the rules and I must try hard not to mess up. Maybe somebody here starts thinking that way. Or maybe you've said things like that. Maybe you've said things like this. I have to keep the Ten Commandments to be a Christian. You see, that's what happened in the pre-Reformation times. The church was teaching that there's some kind of works that we need to keep doing so that we can keep receiving the righteousness of God. In other words, it's sort of like a tea bag. You're sort of infused and you just keep dunking that tea bag and keep getting infused with the righteousness of God. That's the view. But our righteousness isn't infused. It's imputed. It's given to us freely by God as a gift. See, what those Christians who would think that it's something they do and some commandments that they keep that earn them righteousness or keep this righteousness before God, what they mistakenly forget is the fullness of God's gift in Jesus Christ. We are declared righteous, verse 22. We are justified, verse 24. We are redeemed through his propitiation, verse 25. Our righteousness is set in Christ Jesus by faith. Jesus paid for all our sin and fully turned away all of God's wrath. When God put forward Jesus as a propitiation for our sin, every sin was dealt with. Every sin was removed from our record. There is nothing between you and God by faith in Jesus Christ. God justly declared us justified. We are righteous because Jesus paid for all our sin. No good works of obedience on our part pays or adds to our righteousness, our standing before Jesus, before God Himself. In Christ, by faith, we are righteous. Praise God, right? I hear murmurings. Praise God, right? Presbyterians, you can do this. Praise God. We can't pay for God's gift. Other people, some Christians, might say or think, well, when I sin, don't I lose connection with God? Again, this misunderstands that by faith we are in Christ. Therefore, we never lose connection with God. While sin does separate, we acknowledged that earlier, Christ Jesus endured that separation so that we don't have to endure that separation. That separation has been dealt with. Jesus endured that separation from God on our behalf on the cross. That's done with. We don't lose our connection with God when we sin. On the contrary, God's Spirit uses those occasions to correct us. We are God's children, and He uses those occasions to correct us with the gospel. What is the gospel? Repent from your sin. You turn from your sin. That's what the Spirit does. He convicts us of our sin. He says, turn from it. Apply the gospel to that sin. And believe that Jesus has paid for that sin. Repent and believe. Apply the gospel and believe that Jesus has paid for it. That's what the Spirit does. He doesn't separate us. He's actually living with us. And He's correcting us with the gospel, with the good news. So the Holy Spirit, God who lives with us, moves us to apply the gospel. Christian, you are never disconnected from God because of your sin. Never. And I think that leads us to one last mistake that some Christians might make. Thinking that faith itself is some kind of good work. As if by expressing faith, we make God love us. You get that? By expressing faith, some people think that that's what makes God love us. That's not what the Bible teaches. Look at what Paul asks. Look at the question he asked in verse 27 and 28. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded, Paul says. We cannot boast before God. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that no one is justified by faith, Verse 28. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. You see, if faith is a work that we do, then we could boast that we had faith in God, right? If faith is a work, then I have right to go to God and say, God, you owe me righteousness because I had faith in you. Faith is not a work. The truth is, faith is a gift from God. We know that from passages like Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. You have been saved by faith, not of works, so that no one can boast. And God's gift of grace is the only way that we are declared justified, verse 22, redeemed, verse 24, and redeemed through the propitiation of Christ, verse 25. It is only by faith that we receive and stand in Christ. In fact, Paul asks the question in verse 31 at the end of our passage, which shows how faith in Christ upholds God's justice and keeps God's law. Look at what he asks there. Do we then overthrow this law by faith? By no means, Paul says. On the contrary, we uphold the law. The law was upheld fully, not by us, but by Jesus. His life and his perfect obedience to the law and to all things in the scriptures, he was the one who upheld the law. And by faith in Jesus, you and I enter into all that Jesus has done. So it is by faith that you and I uphold the law. So what do we say in conclusion? How do we pull this all together? See, by God's gift to us and faith in Christ, we were placed in Christ. And all his right standing and merit becomes ours. God's gift of faith justifies. It justifies us and it gives us the righteousness of God. So God acted justly. Our wickedness was punished on the cross as Jesus suffered in our place. And Jesus' right standing before God is given to us, a gift, not earned or deserved. It is the great exchange, isn't it? It's the great exchange revealed in Christ, manifested in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The great exchange. We are at once fully justified by God, and all Christ's righteousness is received by faith. Not our works, but his works. And we cannot boast except in the cross of Christ. Let's pray. Lord, how can we do anything but praise you at this moment? Lord, we have heard the gospel manifested in Christ. We have seen that, Lord, we can rest in what you have done in your Son, that the wrath of God is turned away, that we know your righteousness. We have been justified fully once. And now we can rest in what Jesus has done. Lord, we thank you for your Spirit's work in our lives. Help us to apply the gospel each and every day as we live from this day forward, standing in the righteousness of Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. We have a final song to sing as we think about the things that we've just heard from God's Word. We want to stand and sing, Guide me, O Thou Great Jehovah. So please, let's stand and sing.